Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. The tradition that we have is the first Sunday of the month when we receive communion and we come and receive the altar rail. We all kneel before the altar. We're all equal before the cross of Christ. And those acts of piety and acts of mercy that I'll talk about here in a little bit, so that we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. What we do as a group collectively is on that first Sunday, we put at the altar rail an offering, whether it's a dollar or whatever. Any offering there is acceptable. We use that to fund the pastor's discretionary fund, with which we help people who are in need of rent assistance, electricity, gas, heating, so on and so forth. The things that, those are good works. Well, they don't, we can't do those good works without you supporting those good works through, as we did when Virginia joined the church. We affirmed that we would support the church with our prayers, our presence, our tithes, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So we pledge ourselves to do those things. The reason I'm saying this is I think the PDF's pretty small right now, and we're coming to the end of the summer and getting into the fall, and there are going to be a number of needs for those funds. Not laying a guilt trip on you. But if you want to feel that way, have at it. Because, think about this, we're supposed to be thankful. Can any of us outgive God? No. Is anyone more generous than God? No. There endeth the lesson. I was waiting for Lee to just fall out of the pew. Not quite that quick. If you opened your Bibles, you look at James chapter 17. And I say this virtually every time I pray. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. God is. In fulfillment of His purpose, He gives birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. He's responsible for us. It's His love and His grace that has brought us into this earth. You must understand this. Now, I know you guys are going to find this hard to believe, but I really do read this often. Verse 19. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen. Anybody else following along? What follows after that? And slow to speak and slow to anger. Now, how many of you truthfully can put your hand up in the quick to listen and slow to speak? Bob Tabler would. Yes, Bob would. Actually, no, he's very honest, so he probably wouldn't. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak. How many of you have heard the creation story? God gives each of us two ears and one mouth. There's probably some reason for that. What we're supposed to do, when you look at verse 21, we're supposed to rid ourselves of sordidness and rank growth of wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. You know, we're a culture that doesn't really look too favorably on meekness or humility. It doesn't become us because we worship and admire and call as heroes people who are courageous, who do extraordinary things out of selfless sacrifice. We look to people who have courage and strength. And meekness and humility is not necessarily one of those phrases or terms that we look favorably on. Yet, even in the Greek and the Roman, it was in that regard too. The Greeks weren't big on humility, nor were the Romans. They were about strength. They were about power. And through that power and strength, then you had peace. And then you could have a sense of humility. But this meekness that James is speaking of, and so many times as you read, there's Paul, we have faith without works. We're saved by faith alone. Paul, not Peter. Paul. And James writes, not an opposite, but one that some people have viewed as an opposite. Luther seemed to think that there was a challenge between what Paul was saying and what James says. In verse 23, for if be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Because he's talking about an activity. He's talking about us doing the word. Well, and next week when we talk about Acts, James chapter 2, we'll speak about the faith without works. That phrase is like tinkling brass. The challenge is when we think of it as this or that, one better than the other. They work hand in glove. John Wesley said, for many, faith and works are two aspects of Christian living that seem to be in opposition to each other, but not for Wesley. For him, faith and good works are united in God's love. God expresses God's love for us in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And we, in turn, express our response to God's love through our good deeds, particularly those in need. Wesley identifies God's love in action as works of mercy and works of piety, or acts of mercy and acts of piety. Works of piety are personal practices that enrich our personal Christian journey. Prayer, meditation, fasting, worship. Works of piety are our systematic practice of loving our neighbor through our deeds and through our identification with our neighbor. When we serve the first Saturday of every month in that mobile food pantry in concert with one of two other churches, Philippi or Zor, what are we doing? That's an act of mercy. We are actively providing them with food. The other piece is every time anybody comes into the church, they come in, they sit down, they're greeted. We have people in there that are willing to talk with them, sit there and ask them how they're doing. You validate somebody. You're not, oh, this is some faceless person who comes in and needs something and, oh, look at us, how happy we are to be able to feed them because they're not able to do it themselves. No. Never. I mean, the whole interest and impetus here is for us to share of the bounty and blessing that God has given us, the ability to walk back and forth, the ability to do those things. We're serving out of an act of mercy, yes, but it's not holier than thou mercy, but it's by the blessings and grace of God we have what we have and we're willing to share. Faith and works represent the core of the Christian life, a holistic understanding of life addressing both personal and social aspects. Do the Word. We listen, and then we do the Word. Well, what is the Word? We know that in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and nothing was done without Him. And what happens? The Word takes on flesh and dwells among us. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. When we looked in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, you use what to defend yourself against and fight against evil in the world? The Word of God. That's the sword. For if any are hearers of the Word but not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror and going away immediately forget what they were like. Not an easily understood passage, but it sounds kind of hollow. If you're a hearer but not a doer, then sounds like you're not fulfilling. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they'll be blessed in their doing. Another one that's a challenge for me is verse 26. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, the religion is worthless. What's the true religion? What's the pure religion? Care for orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. See, we're in the world not to be of the world. We have acts of piety where we renew our relationship with God by putting ourselves in the Word so that we're immersed in the Word, and the Word then becomes immersed in us, and then it just kind of pours out of us in acts of mercy. Whether it's a food pantry, whether it's a soup ministry, whether it's praying on Sunday, whether it's fellowship and sharing with Betty Morris, whether it's, you know, taking care of Sydney and Sierra a couple of days a month with music ministry, etc. Or Alex, if he's still with us. Alex, you awake up there? He is. Okay. God calls us. His Word speaks to us. And because His Word speaks to us, and if we take it in our hearts, then it's going to cause a change. And out of that change comes activity. It's not that we do the activity so that God will love us. It's because God loved us before we were even born. That's why we do the good works. Be ye not hearers only, be you doers as well. Shalom.